The late author and pastor Tim Keller wrote, "If our identity is in our work rather than Christ, success will go to our heads and failure will go to our hearts." Hi, I'm Rob West. It's tempting to let work or status or material things define you. Today we'll talk about how your identity in Christ provides more lasting satisfaction than financial success ever can. Then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, identity is a hot issue right now in our culture, and there's a lot of pressure to define ourselves according to worldly standards. But as Tim Keller reminds us, our identity isn't found in what we do or what we have, but in Jesus. For Christians, Jesus is enough. We don't need money or success or any other worldly thing to prove our value or provide security. In fact, we are adopted as children of the King himself with an inheritance better than any 401k can provide. Here's what it says in John 1:12. "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." That's good news. Believers in Christ are marked for eternity as part of God's own family, the church. So why do so many believers look so worldly? Well, the sad truth is many believers have forgotten their true identity in Christ because they're trying so hard to be comfortable, to succeed, and to be accepted. Unfortunately, these are desires that only God can fill. So trying to achieve them on your own is a recipe for frustration. Here's what happens when your identity is rooted in money instead of Jesus. First, when you base your self-worth on how much you have, you'll look down on those who have less than you and envy those who have more. The Bible warns against these sins of pride and envy. Second, when you let money define you, you're constantly comparing yourself to others, worrying about your finances, and struggling to improve your circumstances. The end result is disillusionment and fear, because when you're all about the money, it's never going to be enough. And third, when you let money, success, or influence define you, you put your personal value in what you do. You start believing that your identity is found in your work or your income or your spending choices. Ultimately, money and success do not bring peace, and they won't buy you a ticket to heaven. As we quoted earlier, when success goes to your head, failure goes to your heart. So, what do you do if you're tempted to place your identity in what you do or how much you have? Well, Christians can avoid the trap of using external things, like money, to determine our identity by remembering that our true identity is in Christ. No need for pride or shame or comparisons. We are sinners saved by grace, resting in Christ alone, who does not change. Galatians 3:28 says, "In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." You see, it doesn't matter what your job is or whether you just remodeled your kitchen. The size of your bank account or where your kids go to school doesn't determine your value as a person. Your identity is not about what you do or what you have. You are made right before God because of Jesus in you, your hope of glory. So, why do we so often choose to be selfish or fearful or proud? Well, we are still living in a broken and fallen world. We're works in progress, you might say. Just like little kids, we have to learn things the hard way sometimes. But our loving Father in heaven keeps calling us back to Himself. No matter what happens to you financially, your status as a child of God gives you the right to call on Him for provision, help, and peace. No need for fear or guilt. You are no longer a slave to worldly values, and you're not alone. You see, your brothers and sisters in Christ are here to help you. And the Holy Spirit gives you God's power to face life's ups and downs with hope. So if you believe Jesus is the Son of God and acknowledge His work on the cross saves you from sin, your identity is secure as a child of God, forgiven and free. Your hope is eternal, and your inheritance in Christ will last forever. If you want the full story, I would encourage you to read Romans 7 and 8. And by the way, we're on a journey exploring this together at FaithFi. So jump into the FaithFi community, read some articles, and check out the FaithFi app when you visit faithfi.com. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. The further we get from January 1st, the less exciting 2024 seems. We're back at work, back in our usual routines. Resolutions are starting to slip through the cracks, and it's tempting to return to the status quo. But in the midst of all this, there is excitement for the follower of Jesus. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here." Did you hear that? The new is here. Let that encourage you. What you do today matters. Why? Because the new creation has come, and Jesus has promised to make all things new. You'll see Jesus more clearly through daily time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners, LTD, and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services, LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Our vision here is that all believers, all Christians, would see God as their ultimate treasure. When God is our ultimate treasure, then money becomes a tool. It's God's creation, meant to be a blessing for us as we provide for ourselves and our families, as we give generously, as we use it to accomplish God's purposes. Well, that's our goal here at this program. So we take you back to God's Word to explore the Scriptures and help you address the practical daily decisions you're facing with money as you're a steward of God's resources. And we realize that means you've got day-to-day lifestyle spending, and you've got to live with a plan. How do you do that? You've got to tackle the debt that you have in your life. Maybe that's just a mortgage, or beyond that, a car loan. Maybe you've built up some credit card debt and you're just struggling to get out from under it. We want to talk about that. Maybe it's your giving plan. How do you give? Do you give intentionally with a plan, or do you give just spontaneously? Or is there systematic giving? How can we help you give wisely? And finally, how do you grow God's money? What is the appropriate amount to accumulate, both in the short term and the long term? And how do we balance that? How do we navigate the economy and the markets? Well, we do all of that, help you navigate those decisions in light of biblical wisdom, a biblical worldview. So what are your questions today? We've got lines open. We're ready for your phone calls. Our team is standing by, and you could get right through right now at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can give us a call today. We'll be diving into those questions here in just a moment. In the meantime, you know, I mentioned debt, and there's a new survey out by LendingTree. It says, listen to this, only half of America's credit card customers believe that they can pay off their December balance in full. That's right. Of more than 1,500 cardholders surveyed, only about 51% were confident they could pay off their card balance this month. And in November, the confidence index stood at 58%. That says, in part, there was a lot of spending in Christmas, the Christmas season there in December that resulted in, well, money that debt that could not be paid off. By the way, the national credit card balance stands at $1.08 trillion. That's a record high. The average interest rate has reached 21%, the highest point recorded by the Federal Reserve in nearly three decades of tracking. And some retail cards now are charging upwards of 30%. Bankrate found that 47% of cardholders carried debt from month to month in mid-2023, up from 39% at the end of 2021. So that's a big jump there, as we now are up at 47% carrying a balance month to month. The average credit card debt, $6,000. That's according to TransUnion, a report for the third quarter of 2023. That was up from $5,400 the same time the year before. So bottom line is debt is rising. Obviously, a lot of this as a result of what's happening with inflation and spending and prices. That just underscores the need to have a plan to get out of debt, which, by the way, if it's credit card debt, I recommend a debt management program. We can talk about that. If you have credit card debt today, you can give us a call, 800-525-7000. I would visit with our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org to tackle that. Also, it just comes down to a spending plan. You have to have a budget and a system to control the flow of money in and out. That's where our FaithFi app can help. You can set up your plan, track it, see what's left in your envelopes at any point during the month digitally, so you can make course corrections. You can download that at faithfi.com. Just click app. All right, we're going to head to the phones. The number, 800-525-7000. We've got four lines open. Our team is standing by, so you can call right now with your financial questions on any topic. Let's dive in. Ohio is where we're going first. Hi, Jeff. How can I help, sir?
What I wondered, we've always tithed on our money, and I'm retired now, and we still, any income that Social Security and all those things, retirement, we still tithe on all that, but yet God has just continued to bless us. And sometimes I see the money that's been accrued, you know, how much, I just am not sure how much we should keep giving, or if we should increase our giving. And you know, the world seems to be coming apart sometimes at the seams, and there's so many good things we could give to, but I'm just not sure what to do.
Yeah. Well, I love this. What you're describing here is just a truth that we experience. You can't see it play out in your calculator, and yet it's just a reality. You can't outgive God. I love what American inventor and philanthropist R.G. Letourneau said. He's famous for the quote, "I shovel it out, the money, and God shovels it back, but God has a bigger shovel." And, you know, I think that's a little bit of what you're experiencing. By the way, RG decided to do a reverse tithe. He would give 90% and keep 10. He was well known for the large earth moving equipment, and I think he died in the late 60s. But, you know, it's this truth, Jeff, that you're hitting on here, which is we can't outgive God. Everything we have is a gracious gift from the Lord. we're to be generous. I think that's, if not the primary, one of the primary uses that God intended for us with the money that he entrusts to us. We see that in Scripture. Clearly, the idea that we're to be generous just leaps off the page. I mean, we can start with the idea that we were created by a generous God who gave us his son to pay the penalty for our sins. I mean, we have an abundance even before the first dollar. So how do you approach that? Well, I think to do what you've done is the right approach. Number one, to just give systematically, a tithe as a starting point. It's a great guideline, and I would see everything that comes in as an increase to be a gracious gift from the Lord that you'd give back on, and that includes your Social Security, which you could say, well, we've already tithed on part of that, and that's true. But again, I think just continuing to give to the Lord. But you know, eventually, I think we have to define enough, both for our lifestyle and for our accumulation. And here's what I mean by that. Enough for our lifestyle just simply means, you know what? I'm not looking for a bigger house or a nicer car. And, you know, I don't need to spend anymore, so I can cap my spending. And then for our accumulation, we reach enough when we say prayerfully, God, how much do you want me to build up in terms of my net worth? And there is a finish line there. And ultimately, that's between you and the Lord. But once we reach enough, I think it allows, now we should be giving all along the way, and clearly you have, but I think once we reach enough, that allows us to accelerate and do even more giving, and I think that's the opportunity that you're uncovering, which, by the way, brings incredible joy with it. So I would just be prayerful about it. I would have a plan. You and your wife sit down and say, hey, what are we going to do this year? Maybe we're going to bump up our systematic giving a couple of percentage points, and maybe we're going to take some of this money on our balance sheet that's just sitting there, and we're going to go ahead and get it into God's kingdom now. So there's not a right or wrong answer here, but I think in this season of life, you have an opportunity perhaps to do even more and experience the joy that God will allow to follow. Does that all make sense, though?
Yep, it sure does. It sure does. And I sure appreciate your advice.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. We appreciate your call today, my friend. Thanks for challenging our listeners to be generous with what God has entrusted to them. You know, when we talk about giving, there's a truth that Ron Blue, one of my mentors and the author and teacher, talks about. He says that giving breaks the grip of money over our lives. You know, money can have a grip over our lives that can even allow it to compete with God for first position if we allow it to. Well, money loosens that grip. When we give it away, it loosens that grip over our lives. Try it. See if that's not true in your life. Hey, we've got lines open. We're going to continue to take your questions today on any financial topic. 800-525-7000. Call right now, and we'll be right back.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
The most rewarding thing about my job is that we get to build relationships through our donors and our supporters and get to have that personal relationship with them.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
I'm so glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance, where we apply a biblical worldview to your financial decisions and choices. You know, everything that happens here at American Family Radio starts with a biblical worldview, and that certainly applies to our finances as well. We've got a few lines open today for your financial questions. We'd love to chat with you, hear what's on your mind, and help you make a financial decision today in light of God's Word. The number to call, 800-525-7000. We'd love to take your call right now. Let's head back to the phones. Jacob in New Mexico, you're next up, sir. How can I help?
So I have a question. How do you know that, you know, you're tithing right and every one of us, unfortunately, in this world, you know, the root of all evil is the love of money, right? So
that's right.
How do you still, you know, not get lost in that, but then still be part of the world, but then, you know, for God? And, you know, I guess I'm confused on that. You know?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, when we go to scripture, I mean, one of the things that comes to mind in hearing you ask this question, which is a great one, is the parable of the sower. You remember the seed was scattered on the various soils, and the one soil where it was scattered, it was choked out by the weeds, and it didn't bear the 30, 60, 100-fold return that the seed scattered on the good soil did. And the disciples, after the fact, asked Jesus to explain the parable, and he said basically what choked out the word, the seed, which was the word in the parable, was the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things and the cares of this world. So I think right there, I mean, clearly from Jesus' own mouth, we see that the deceitfulness of wealth can choke out the word from bearing fruit in our life if we're not careful. And I think the way we overcome that is by making God our true treasure. If we go to another parable in Luke 12, the parable of the rich fool, you remember at the end of that story with the rich fool who had the great crop and he was going to build new barns, bigger ones, tear down the old ones, build bigger ones so he could eat, drink, and be merry. God said, your life will be demanded of you. He died, didn't get to enjoy the fruit of his labors. And at the end, he said, we're to be, and this is, again, Jesus speaking, we're to be rich toward God. And I think rich toward God means to live with God as our true treasure, and therefore money is a tool. The problem is the world would tell us that money is what we should pursue that will bring us lasting happiness, fulfillment, enjoyment. That's just not the case. We know that God is where we get our enjoyment. When we have, he should be the delight of our heart, our true treasure, and then money takes its rightful place, not as an end, but a means to an end. It's a tool to accomplish God's purposes. So when we put money in its context and we see God as the owner of everything and he is where our delight is, then ultimately it allows us to live, I think, in accordance with what he would have for us, and money no longer competes with God for first position. Well, one of the key ways to do that, other than changing your perspective, is to give. Because when we give, we're demonstrating, it's a tangible demonstration of our trust in the Lord. Because if we believe that we were responsible for our provision, well, then we'd want to hold tightly to everything that comes through our hands. But if we believe God is our provider and our trust is in Him, well, then we can give it away because we know God will continue to provide. So I think the act of generosity is what allows you to live and overcome the challenges that you're describing, which is, you know, the love of money. Now, how much do you give and where? Well, I think one of the reasons New Testament giving is not completely clear on that is because it's about your heart posture. You see, God wants you to wrestle through that with Him. It's not a, you know, there's not a number in the New Testament that we're to give. It just says we're to give freely, we're to give sacrificially, we're to give, you know, systematically or proportionately. These are the ideas that we see in Scripture, and it says, to whom much is given, much is required. So we're to be found faithful in our giving, and when we do, there's incredible blessing and reward that follows. May not be financial, but there will be a blessing and a reward. So I think that then takes us back to our knees, and we work that out through prayer with the Lord. And, you know, I think your giving should not only be planned, but in some cases it might even be a little scary because maybe God's leading you to give more than you even imagined you would or could. And I think that's a good place because it just even reinforces our dependence on Him even more. So obviously I've thrown a lot at you there, Jacob. Give me your thoughts.
Right. And you know, and then, and on that note, you know, us being humans, you know, we're born into sin. So, you know, when we have a hard time putting God first before money, because most of us in, you know, most of us, the first thing we do when we wake up, we put our work boots on. So then we're just, yeah, we're not putting God first in our lives. And then, you know, as, and then everything comes with putting Him first.
Yeah, I guess the only thing I would push back on there, and I agree with you, we can get our priorities out of whack, and that includes with our work, but we were created to be workers. You remember Adam and Eve were created before sin entered the world to be workers. They had assignments. They were to tend to the garden, name the animals. So, you know, God's design is for us to be productive. God is a worker. You know, we see Him create, and you know, we're to take God's creation and improve it, and that's part of God's design. Now, we need to keep that in balance, and that's why we have the Sabbath, and that's why we work as unto the Lord and not to men. But we, when we put on our boots, I think that's an act of worship in and of itself if we're doing it playing to an audience of one, which is God Himself, and not playing to an audience of man. We don't want to find our identity in our work by any means. Our identity is in Christ, but clearly we were created to be workers. The financial resources God entrusts to us is a blessing. It's not a curse. There's nothing wrong with even being wealthy as long as we have the right heart posture and attitude that goes along with it. So I appreciate your call today, Jacob, and you raising these questions. These are great questions. They're ones that we all need to wrestle with. I'm looking at myself in the mirror on that one as well. So we appreciate you being a part of the program today, sir. God bless you. Hey, Steve in Mississippi, we're coming your way just around the corner. We have lines open, 800-525-7000. Call right now. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and we hope you stick around because we're coming back with much more.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
The purpose of government is to secure God-given or inalienable rights to man.
America's premier historian, David Barton.
John Dickinson, who's also a signer of the Constitution, he said, "An inalienable right is a right which God gave to you and which no inferior power has a right to take away."
Wall Builders Live captures the ideas of the Founding Fathers and then applies those ideas to the issues of today. Sunday morning at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God. with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
Is God calling you to ministry? It's time to multiply your capacity for ministry with an affordable degree. The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the degree for you. When God called you to ministry, He called you to preparation. This degree is the education that you need to put all the pieces together for an amazing life of ministry. You will graduate with a confidence for ministry that is backed up by your competence in the scriptures, theology, and ministry. Come learn with a trusted seminary that will help you become a faithful leader. Learn more at wbs.edu.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions with one line open, 800-525-7000. What are you thinking about in your financial life? Give us a call today. We'll help you think it through in light of biblical wisdom. Also coming up in our next segment, Jerry Boyer stops by. Friday is always a great day because Jerry Boyer weighs in on the markets and the economy. Yeah, as we kick off a new year, what are we thinking about in the economy? Obviously, we had incredible strength there at year end. Well, what does that mean for 2024? And we'll get Jerry to weigh in on a question from a caller. Steve in Mississippi wants to know about the Turkish banks. Did you know they raised their interest rate up to 40%? That's right. 42% is where their interest rates are at to combat high inflation. He wants to know how we should process that. We'll get Jerry to weigh in on that as well. All right, let's head back to the phones. In the meantime, Arkansas is where we're going next. Hi, Paul. How can I help, sir?
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Doing great.
I was a youth pastor for 32 years. Unfortunately, most churches don't invest in their youth, so I always had to have a secular job. About 7 years ago, finances got to the point where I had to start driving a truck. I would like to start some kind of a scholarship for young people that are interested in going into ministry. What would be the best way to set that up?
Yeah, it's a great question. So you would like to make gifts directly to individuals, and so you would determine who gets the scholarships, and then you'd make the award directly to the students?
Well, actually, I would like to do it through my church. There's a particular school of ministry that I would like to kind of focus towards.
Okay.
But I would like to go through the church and have the church kind of set up, or I guess be the overseer of it. And
Yeah. Well, that would actually be really good because, see, what would be best is if you don't have any... or at least the sole decision-making over who receives it. Because if you're making a gift,
directly to an individual, that's not a charitable contribution because you're sending it to a person, as opposed to you making a, so perhaps you visit with your somebody at, on staff at the church, let them know that you'd like to do this. If they're willing to work with you on it, then they could you could make a designated gift to a scholarship fund at the church. So you'd write a check to the church, you'd designate it for the scholarship fund, and as long as you're not the one choosing who the recipient is, you could be a part of a committee maybe, but not the one making the sole decision, then you could claim that as a charitable deduction, as long as the church was willing to work with you to hold the money as a designated gift, and then create a process to determine who receives those awards or scholarships, you know, on a periodic basis. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Okay. Is there any kind of investment that we could put it into where it would, you know, it wouldn't just be the gift; it would be, I guess, earning interest or whatever, yeah, to where it could grow.
Yeah, you'd have to work with the church on that. I mean, if I were on that finance committee, I'd say I wouldn't want to invest it in anything that could lose money, just because, you know, when money is given to the church for kingdom purposes, you know, I don't feel like you should put it at the risk of the stock market. So I think at that point, you know, it would be up to the church's policies on how they wanted to handle that. Now, hopefully they should at least be able to take advantage of these higher interest rates right now and are still in a risk-free environment, or nearly risk-free, nothing's risk-free. But I probably would not want to see them investing it in stocks and bonds, especially because I would imagine your time horizon is not very long. I mean, would you expect that some of this money would be given out through scholarships, let's say, in the next 3 years?
Yes.
Yeah. So if that's the case, your time horizon is less than 3 years. I probably wouldn't want you to go in anything but, you know, U.S. Treasuries or, you know, CDs or something like that. So I think your next step, Paul, is to meet with your church and see if they're willing to play ball with you.
Okay. CDs is kind of the route I was looking at, too.
Okay. Yeah. And they should have access to that through their bank.
All right.
Thank you, Paul. Absolutely,
sir.
Thank you, and you as well. Let's head to Arkansas. Hi, Jim. How can I help you, sir?
Yes, sir. I just want to say I'm almost 80 years old, and my problem is there's not enough people in this world to know to do the things they need to do. If I'd have put back $10 a week when I was 20 or 30, yeah, I would have had a great retirement. I'm not hurting, but I could have been so much better off if I'd have had some kind of plan. And the thing I'm trying to get across right now is get that plan working and get with a financial person that you know is reliable and work with them, because it'll benefit you when you get old like me. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Hey, Jim, I couldn't agree more, and I appreciate you saying that. I know there's countless listeners out there today who are in that season of life that you're describing, and, you know, there's just an unending number of places our money can find its way to, and we can end up allowing that what I call lifestyle creep to gobble up all excess. And without a plan and some intentionality, we could miss an incredible opportunity to take advantage of the power of compound interest, which is what Einstein called the eighth wonder of the world, right? And so if folks listening today would take your advice and set up a Roth IRA and just put in $25 a month or $50 a month, you would be amazed if you invest that in a high-quality growth stock mutual fund, what that will turn into 30, 40, 50 years later. So, yes, sir, great advice. I appreciate you calling today and challenging our listeners. Thanks for making the call. Let's go to Mississippi. Hi, Tammy. How can I help you?
Hi, good morning. Thank you. I was just wondering, I don't belong to a church. I'm not a member of a church, but I listen to your program every day, and so I kind of feel convicted that I need to be paying tithe.
Yeah.
But if I'm not a member of a church, can I send it to, like, maybe a church that I've visited and I like that church, or do you have to be a member?
Yeah, no, it's a great question, Tammy. I think at the end of the day, God wants our hearts. He wants us to be generous. I love the principle or the guideline of the tithe that, you know, is a great beginning point for your giving. And I think starting with the local church for that tithe is clearly on the heart of God. We see that in Scripture. So I think the first thing is getting you planted into a local church. And I realize that can take some time, and you're going to need to think and pray through that and visit around. But Hebrews 10:5 is pretty clear. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So the idea here is that as the body of Christ, we grow in community, you know, and we can encourage one another, and you no doubt have, you know, plenty that you can share and encourage other believers with, and them back to you, not to mention the teaching of God's word and the opportunity to serve. But to your point about giving, yeah, I think as you're visiting around, maybe you give a weekly tithe to the church that you're visiting. In the meantime, maybe you're being fed by a teaching ministry. Maybe you want to give there. But ultimately, I'd love to get you planted in a local church. And once you do, then let's direct your tithe there. It's a great question, Tammy. God bless you. We'll be right back with much more.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got some lines open today, ready for a few more of your questions before we round out the broadcast. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Well, here on a Friday in our final segment, Jerry Boyer joins us to weigh in on the markets and the economy, giving us his perspective and take on all things economics. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, Rob. How are you, my friend? Happy Good. New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Jerry. Tell me quickly, how was your Christmas season with the family? I'm sure you had a full house.
We did. It was bursting the seams. It was really wonderful. We just had a full house Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. We took it a little easier. we're not big on New Year's Eve celebration. That's not a big part of our High Holy Day tradition.
Sure.
And we had to rest up from all the Christmas stuff. How about yours?
Yeah, it was wonderful. We had my oldest home from college, and then we had a lot of family. We had 19 of us for 4 days in my house, so it was bursting at the seams as well, but a wonderful time. Well, great to start a new year. Looking forward to getting your take. Hey, would you be up for a caller question who wants to know about the Turkish banks raising their central bank interest rate to 42%. Are you up for that?
Sure. Yeah.
I guess you
all
have
right,
to be because
Turkish banking. You just asked
I put you on the spot, so we don't have a choice. All right, Steve in Mississippi, what are you wanting to know from Jerry about the Turkish banks?
Well, thank you guys for all you do. Tell me, Jerry, what's your take on the 42% Turkish banks? I know interest goes up when the risk goes up as well. And we as Christians, what do you think about mostly Muslim Turkey and their banks investing?
Yeah, that's a great question, and that's a big question. Let me kind of zoom out a little bit, because I remember it was not so long ago that everyone was talking about the Turkish model. And the Turkish model is, hey, a Muslim country can be a prosperous economy. Yeah, I was at Forbes at that time, and everyone was pushing that idea. See, there's nothing about Islam that holds back economic growth. All the Davos crowd, they were talking about Turkey as the model for an Islamic growth economy. And now, I mean, it's a destroyed economy. It's a dictatorship with an economy on life support. So the dreams of grandeur, the dreams that, religion doesn't matter, and that there aren't, significant problems with Islam when it comes to wealth creation versus wealth destruction, those are pretty much, that multicultural dream has pretty much been shattered. I think you already said it, Steve, that the high interest rate is an indicator of high risk. Rob, you remember this from a few years ago. We talked about catastrophic loss conditions. Mm. There are certain countries, they're on sale, so you think, okay, I'm going to buy that.
Yeah.
But they're not on sale enough. They never could be on sale enough because the risk is almost infinite. And Turkey has been on a list a long time of countries that just are not worth the risk. It's like you go to the store and it's like, oh, the suit is 50% off, it's 80% off, it's 90% off. Well, what is it? Oh, it's a powder blue leisure suit. I don't care if it's 99% off. I'm not doing it. So Turkey's been kind of like that. It's been certainly on sale and it was very attractively valued. And then it went down another 80%. So there are certain situations that are so high risk and they have to do with destruction of the rule of law. And they also have to do with unsound currency. Erdogan, he's the dictator of Turkey. He looked at Islam, said that there should be no interest there should be no interest charge. There should be a zero interest rate. That's called riba. And he used that to manipulate the currency to say, well, we're going to push the interest rate down to zero with easy money. And the Turkish lira collapsed, because the laws of reality are stronger than whatever Muhammad thought he was doing in the Quran. Mm. And the laws of reality are that if you pump excess money into a system, you devalue the money. So I've had friends have actually fallen into this trap a few years ago. Look how high the interest rates are in Turkey. Yeah, but what do they pay you in? They don't pay you in dollars. They pay you in Turkish lira. And if the value of the Turkish lira collapses, then if you're getting 42% return, but the currency goes down 50%, guess what? You lost money. And that's what's happened to people who I think took the sucker's bet of high interest rates in Turkey.
Wow. Fascinating, Jerry. Well, I appreciate you weighing in. Amazing what you can do off the cuff. That was a great question and a great answer. Steve, thanks for being on the program today. All right, let's come back home then, Jerry. We're not at 42% and our inflation's not at 62%, but we've got our own challenges here. So obviously a lot of year-end strength. We talked about that. We talked about this upside-down economy that we're in. Now we've flipped over into a new year. So where do you think we're headed from here? And how do you interpret the data that's coming out as of late?
Yeah, well, last year was basically the story of maybe we beat inflation and maybe the Fed can start cutting interest rates again. And maybe we're getting too close to recession, right? So, that, of course, isn't that bad news, getting too close to a recession? No, that's good news, because they're going to pump money into the system. Now, we're not Turkey. So when Turkey pumps money into the system, the world says, I'm sorry, we don't trust you. Yeah. When we pump money into the system, the world says, yeah, well, America's got its problems, but it's still probably better than the rest of the world. So we're able to get away with it. When we create extra currency, basically the world says, all right, we'll hold those dollars in reserve. When someone like Turkey creates extra currency, not only do they not hold them in reserve, but they dump the ones they already have. Mm-hmm. So we've got a sort of cultural margin because we have a history of biblical Christianity and rule of law. But on the other hand, there's a limit to that. right? And the idea was, I think the idea kicking in now is we might be up against that limit. So I think markets are now this year saying, well, wait a minute, maybe the Fed really hasn't beat inflation. They read the Fed minutes, and the Fed is acknowledging maybe we haven't really beat inflation. And so maybe we won't pump money into the system this year, like markets have been thinking, and therefore markets go down. So monetary discipline can actually hurt markets. You know, we've talked a long time about principles and how they affect markets and economies. Yeah. And you said, and you've asked a good question, which is, well, wait a minute. You know, the principles, if you violate principles, is it always punished in the short run? And the answer is no, it's frequently not punished in the short run. And specifically, easy money and high debt are principles which you can violate. I mean, the sound money, I should say, and low debt are principles you can violate. You can go with easy money and high debt foolishly for the long run and get short-term benefits. But eventually there's a reckoning, and I think markets this year are reflecting the possibility of a reckoning.
Mm, yeah. And so obviously, you know, we'll see that play out in a number of fronts. You know, the forecasts are for double-digit growth on corporate earnings. We'll see what happens there. And then obviously we'll see an economy that's continuing to slow, despite the fact that it has been quite resilient, and that's continuing to show up in the labor market, right?
Yeah, although you know, the other thing recently this week is the JOLTS report, which is job opening, was a little worse than expected, and that's one of the ideas of, maybe we are slowing down. So the economy, you know what I think. I think that at the end of 2022, we actually had a recession.
Yeah.
When you look at the entire economy, gross output, it contracted for two quarters. All right, then last year it bounced back, but I think we're going to find out that the fourth quarter, now we just left the fourth quarter, but we don't know. I mean, that's the weird thing. You don't know what happened in the recent past until the government comes out and gives you the stats. I think that's going to show a slowing economy. So I think the economy is slowing. And I don't think inflation is beaten. So I think this year is going to be more stagflation, you know, not really high inflation, like 10% like we got. But I think we have a slowing economy. And yeah, some quarters we're going to have double digit growth in profit, but we also had negative growth in profit last year, too. One of the things that's so confusing is when the Fed is in charge of everything, that means that as its mood swings back and forth, the market has to respond by swinging back and forth. So all these statistics seem to contradict one another. Wait a minute. Oh, the strong growth. Oh, no, weak growth. Oh, no, strong growth. Oh, no, weak growth. That's volatility. That's a double man. That's what James calls daipsuke. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So the lack of clarity in the picture is precisely because we have a central bank which is micromanaging the economy that can't decide from week to week whether it's fighting inflation or whether it's fighting recession, whether it should be tightening the money supply or whether it should be loosening the money supply. And that going back and forth, that being tossed, as James says, back and forth like waves from the sea, that's why we get all these conflicting and confusing conversations. So is the economy growing or not? Well, what are we talking about? First quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter? It's all over the map because the central bank is on again, off again.
Mm, yep. All right, Jerry, well said as always. A great reminder for us of how biblical economics works. And when we violate that, eventually we will pay the price for it. But we need to pray for God's continued hand on our nation, for repentance, for revival, turning from our ways, and leaders with wisdom. You're certainly
starting with us.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Hey, grateful for you, my friend. Tell Susan and the team hello, and we'll talk to you next week.
Rob says hello, Susan, and the team. All right, they're waving.
You did that. All right, God bless you, buddy. I know, yeah, I did, and you did, and I'm
later,
grateful.
I'm
glad you did it right now. See you, pal. That's
right,
Jerry Boyer. He's our resident economist. Never a shortage of wisdom and brilliance when Jerry's along with us, and some laughs as well. Hey, folks, thanks for being along with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Greg, Steve, I apologize we didn't get to your questions. If you want to stay right there, our team will see if we can get you scheduled to be first up on Monday's broadcast. So hold the line. On behalf of my team today, Robert Youngblood, Jim Henry, and Devin Patrick, I'm Rob West. This has been Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. Go out and live for Jesus. Make God your ultimate treasure. And have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.